Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 4. What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
Amen. Praise the Lord, brothers. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and this is a new episode of Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, brothers, thank you for listening. Take your time out. If you listen, you received the link on your phone. We checked out the link. You got it off the Facebook page, Issues Christian Men's Talk, and you clicked on it. So we appreciate you taking time out of your day and your schedule to listen in to these episodes and hope that they are encouraging to you. Also, we encourage you to share them with the brothers in your circle of influence, those brothers part of your ministry, to just be able to encourage one another, because that's what we want to our focus here at Issues Christian Men Talk, is to encourage, to challenge, support, and hold each other accountable in the things of God as we, as men of God, live this life, walk out our faith in Christ every day as husbands, fathers, and sons. So again, thank you, brothers. And I pray that something will be said in this episode or has been said in past episodes that have encouraged you. Again, we invite you Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. We are live. You can call in at 646-668-2636 Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. live. Also, we have a couple of things going on coming up in the spring now. Things are starting to open up. But let us pray first, and then we're going to get into the conversation and share that information. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father God, first of all, I want to say thank you, God. I thank you, God, for who you are, God. Father, I thank you, God, for your son, Jesus Christ, who was born of a virgin, who lived a sinful life, who died on the cross for our sins to reconcile us back to you, Lord God. We thank you for the evidence that his death was acceptable for the price of sin for all of mankind by the resurrection, Lord God. So, Father, we just thank you right now that in yet we are justified before you because of the death of Jesus Christ. Father, I ask to God now that you would strengthen us, oh God. Strengthen every man, God. Every man is listening. Every man is called in. Every man is listening to this, maybe listening to this online. No matter where he's at, oh God, I ask that you would touch his life today, oh God. I ask to God that you would strengthen him, God, and direct him, God. We're praying for the wisdom in men, God, and husbands and fathers, God. Giving them discernment, oh God, on the direction they should go, on how they should live, oh God. That they would lead in their families, oh God, lead in their homes, lead in the church and in the community, oh God. With the truth of the word of God. Father, right now, God, I pray for the empowering and the stirring of the Spirit in the brothers, that they might be boldness, have the boldness to evangelize for you, to tell someone about the truth. Tell the unbeliever, oh God, those whose dead souls may be destined for eternal hell and punishment, that God, that you would use us as a body of Christ to share the gospel, the hope, the love of Jesus Christ, oh God. So use us, use your church mightily, God. Father, first, and then I thank you, God, for those, oh God, that have come to salvation, God, who may be struggling in their faith, God. We're praying for their maturity, for their growth, God, that the word, oh God, would take seed and root into their spirits, God, that your Holy Spirit will continue to speak into them and guide and direct them, God, that they would be submissive unto that spirit, oh God, of truth and hope and joy and love, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you right now for all that you're doing. Father, we lift up those in hospital rooms, hospital beds, oh God, the families, oh God, who stand by, comfort them, God, even in the time of not knowing what's next, God, but knowing that you are in control of all things, God, because you are the healer, you are the doctor, you are the provider, you are Jehovah Jireh. So we thank you for that right now, Lord God. We pray for the souls and brothers that whose physical bodies may be incarcerated right now in jails and prisons, oh God, that they, oh God, that their minds and their spirits might be free by the truth of your gospel, Lord God. So, God, we're praying for those, oh God, that you would reach behind those bars or across those walls, through those fences, oh God, and touch their lives, God, that you would send your ministering angel, God, that you would send your ambassadors that would speak truth and life into their dark situation. Father, we pray for the culture. We pray for the community, God. We pray for the leaders in the churches. We pray for the leaders in the cities, in the states, in the counties. In our governments, oh God, we're praying that you would guide them, God. The word of God says that the heart of the king is in your hand, God. So we ask, oh God, that you would guide and direct them. And Father, continue, God, to use each and one of us, oh God. Let us know that we are your sons, we are your children, oh God, and that we all have a purpose and a plan that you have created us for, Lord God. So let God come to give revelation to every man that's listening on who you call them to be. So, Lord, we just thank you, God. We thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you in the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, amen, brothers. Again, appreciate you listening in. Today we're going to be talking about why is obedience to God important, the obedience of God. And it's some of the things we have to understand what it means. Obedience to the faith. I read in Scripture somewhere that the obedience to the faith. And it's really about who we are in Christ and how do we know we are in Christ. And how our obedience is the proof of who we are in Christ. Amen. Well, first, first of all, I want to share with you. We're adding another book to our summer reading list. If you go on the Facebook page, we listed the books that we added for this summer for the reading list. Because again, we have to be able to encourage and to grow in the faith, grow in understanding, grow in the wisdom and knowledge of God. And we do that through the reading and the studying of His Word, and using in some of the books that I. Recommended here, I believe will help do that. The book that I want to talk about today, share with you today, is the book called Seven Friendships Every Man Needs. Seven Friendships Every Man Needs. It's written by Justin Erickson. That's J-U-S-T-I-N Erickson, E-R-I-C-K-S-O-N. Seven Friendships Every Man Needs. And brothers, for those who are local here in the Baltimore, D.C. area, and You know where you can reach out to me. Call me on your phone. I have a couple copies here. I'd be willing to share. If you want to get a copy, let me know. Reach out. Send me a text. You have my number, and then I can get it to you. For everybody else, I know this. It's on Amazon. It's in ChristianBookstore.com, and you can get it there. I found that to be the cheapest place to receive them because I haven't been to a brick and mortar Christian bookstore in a long time. So I usually order all my stuff online, and that's the least expensive way to build your faith. Also, it is on Audible, the audiobook website. It's also on there. You can listen to it while you're driving, running, jogging, working out, or whatever. Amen. But again, it's 7 friendships every man needs. Next issue is coming up, starting in the month of May. We have a couple fellowships that are starting up. We have one that I heard about that's going to be local here in the Glenbury, Maryland area. For those who are familiar, it's on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Saturdays on 10 a.m., so give me send me a text. I can send you the information. The address is a church here in Glen Burnie. I talked to the brother there, Pastor Fidel. Met with the brother. He reached out to me. We connected. And he's running he's doing his men's Saturday morning gatherings. So I encourage you. And according to the brother, his vision and mission and plan is to do it every Saturday at 10. So, you can whatever Saturday you're free, we encourage you to stop on by. But give me a text, send me a call, send me a text, and I'll share with you the address. Amen. Also, what else I got? I think that's it. And as always, you know, all here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, we are live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m., and we encourage you to call in and join us and be part of the program. And for anyone out there who wants to be part of our discussion programs of the other episodes we record and post and send out, just give me a call. You can be on the discussion panel, be part of the program, be a guest on the show. If you have a topic that you want to talk about, share about, that God has put on your heart, or something that we can discuss that you know will edify and encourage your brothers, give me a call. We can schedule a time and we can record the episode, and then we can send it out to the brothers and reach them. Amen? Amen. Well, again, today we're going to be talking about obedience to the faith and what it means. What it really means to be obedient to God. Amen. Amen. I'm going to open up here. I'm going to read something, and then I'm going to go to my brother here that's on the line with me. Good morning. Elder Mark, can you hear me, sir? How are you?
I'm blessed, my brother, and yourself. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing good, brother. You sound loud and clear. Yeah, I appreciate you again, brother, for joining me this Saturday morning. We're doing this is one of the live Saturday morning episodes, so I appreciate you getting up, taking time to be part of it. Amen. I'm gonna read something, and then I wanna get your insight and your opinion on it. Obedience to God is important. You know, we have to think about it. Obedience to God, it proves our love. It demonstrates our faithfulness to Him, and then it glorifies Him in the world. Because again, we are living epistles, and people see us as men of God, and especially it begins in our homes with our families. So it proves who we are, it demonstrates our faithfulness, and it glorifies Him. And we know that faith, without faith, we cannot please God. So faith is necessary to please Him. And our faith is genuine and true when we live a lifestyle characterized by righteousness. And we obey His commandments, but we don't obey His commandments because we have to. That's the thing. That's where religion and rules and things come in, where churches and men try to set rules on our salvation and who we are in Christ. But we don't do it because of that, not because we have to, but because we want to, because we love Him. And we are able to obey Him because we believe in Him, we are saved, we are renewed in our minds, we're renewed in our spirits, and the Holy Ghost lives within us. So that's where real conversion, real faith, and real proof of our salvation comes in our obedience. What do you say, sir?
You know, brother, this morning when I reached out to you to find out what we'd be talking about, I spoke to my wife, started speaking to my wife, and I said, babe, you know, the word says obedience is greater than sacrifice. And, you know, I was just asking her for clarification and just discussion before we were both getting ready. She, you know, was on Apostles Radio Show, Heart to Heart. But I recognize and realize when you talk about obedience, grace, and sacrifice, so many times we want to tell God what we're willing to do and ask him to move on it. And we're not being obedient. We're willing to say, well, God, I'm going to give up this. I'll stop doing this. I'll stop doing this if you do this. And what the word says, once again, obedience is greater than sacrifice. It's better to listen and to hear from God and to do what he's commanding than it is to say, I'm going to give up this. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'll stop doing this because I want you to do this. I want you to move on this, and I want you to give me this. So many times we set our own rules, as you said, as men. We try to set our own conditions and our own commandments and our own way of living rather than just listening to what God has for us and what God is telling us to do. Because when God gives us a command and God gives us what he wants us to do, sometimes it doesn't fit the idea, the ideology that we have as to how we should fix ourselves, how we should fix our situation. But when we truly know God, when we truly have a relationship with God, we are obedient regardless to what it means. And sometimes what we feel is the sacrifice, what we feel is what we're giving up, is we think is, you know, enough. We think that's going to put us in the right place, that's going to put us in the right mindset. But obedience means that we will do what God says to the letter. When God says to move, it may sound crazy, it may not make sense. I was blessed with the opportunity to minister one time, and I was speaking, and I said sometimes the very commands that we receive may make absolutely no sense, but that truly is the sacrifice because we're doing something different than what our mind tells us or what makes sense for us. It's not to be in our own understanding. It's not to be in a place that we can make sense of, but we're following what God says. We're following the direction. How many times have you heard to do something that you can't make sense of, and because you can't make sense of, you say, oh, well, no, I'm not going to do that, but what I will do is this. Obedience to what seemingly doesn't make sense, because we can't fathom God's plan. We can't fathom God's direction sometimes because it doesn't fit our earthly desires or doesn't fit what we have set in place and the understanding that we've set. So we have to be in a place that we say, Lord God, I'm just going to listen to what you say to do, what you say to do, what you command, what you give. When I'm obedient in that, then I know I have a true relationship with you because I'm no longer dependent upon my own rules and my own understanding. Back to you, sir.
Amen, amen, amen. And, brothers, that's the thing we have to really stay focused on. You know, it's keeping his commandments. You know, I want to give scripture because I always want to give a scriptural foundation on what we're talking about. We're going to go to John chapter 2. First John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. And it talks about, now that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Verse 5 says, but whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought to himself also walk just as he walked. And that's what it talked about when it talked about we walking in righteousness. Because that righteousness and holiness it reflects in our walk. And when we say our walk, when the Bible speaks about walk, it's our lifestyle. It's our day to day. It's not what we look like when we go to church. It's not what we do around the pastor and the other saints. It's how we live our life every day and every moment, with the challenges, with the failures, with the disappointments, with the trials and with the tests. Are we walking in righteous, knowing who we are in Christ, and not letting well, brothers, this is where we really have to see where our test comes. If we're going to obey him, because when we are tested, when the trials and tests of life come upon us, and that's the important thing that we have to be able to see and understand. This is where the test is known. Do we really know him? You know that old example. You know, if you slam your hand in the door, or hit your finger with a hammer, do you automatically start cursing? That's a simplistic one in a comical one, but. When we are tested in our faith, when we don't get what we think we deserve, when we are persecuted, when we are talked about, when we are mistreated, How do we respond in our spirit? That's what we have to judge. Are we walking in righteousness? And that's where that love comes in. Where do we truly love him to the point where we're going to obey him when the tests and the trials come? And that's where we are. That's who we have to be. You know, I'm thinking that way because I've been through so much in my life and testing, right? And this is after salvation. Because we know when we were sinners and didn't know God, life was, you know what I'm saying? Life was easy because we could do what we wanted, how we wanted, when we wanted. And if something didn't go our way or we didn't like something, we could do something about it. But also loving him is to be able to endure because he endured. Remember what Christ went through. I was just reading recently. I was going reading through the Gospels and reading through the book of Acts. You know, Jesus Christ, once his ministry started for those 3 years, we don't read it. We read it in a way that this is what I got from reading it, that those 3 years of his ministry, they were trying to kill him for 3 years. How many of us could endure that thing? In obedience, because he was obedient to the Father on why he was born. And he's being obedient to his call. So now us as men of God, are we going to be obedient to the call no matter what's going on around us? What do you say, sir?
Apologies, a little technical difficulty on the side. And yeah. Are we going to be obedient no matter what the situation? It's a serious question because, like you said, I mean, it's a comical thing to think, you know, like you said, slam your finger in the door, you know, what's your reaction? But when life comes, are we still going to stand in that place where we're obedient to the commands? When life comes, when situations that we don't expect, when that argument comes, are you going to stand in a place when that person cuts you off in traffic? Are you going to cuss them out and give them the middle finger? Or are you going to just God bless you and allow them to move forward and you go forward? Are you going to, when someone, you know, bumps into you, are you going to react in that old way of ignorance? Or are you going to say, you know, excuse me and take the humble road and say, excuse me, that just as the word says, you know, if you're slapped, you turn the other cheek. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it doesn't feel bad. It may not be a literal slap, but are you going to be the one that takes the humble road? Are you going to be the one to exude that very fruit of the Spirit, that gentleness, that kindness, that joyfulness, even in the midst of a bad situation? When someone at your job lies on you, are you going to blow up or are you going to say, you know what, God bless you, I recognize, you know, things could be in a better situation, so I apologize. Allow me to be in a place that says, allow you to be in a place that says, you know, Lord God, forgive me and forgive them. We are in a world right now that our reaction, we are no longer proactive. We're in a place where we react, and our reaction is most of the time negative. It's always reacting to someone else. It's always reacting. And that's the temptation. That's the thing that the enemy uses because he knows that we stand in a place that we believe and we serve God. But so many times we can be tossed from that place. We can be tempted. We can be pressed to react in a bad way to any given situation. And that is our test. That is our situation. Forgive me, Deke. I'm sorry. I'm having a little bit of a bad issue. Let me pass it back to you, sir. I apologize. Hold on 1 second.
Amen. Amen. I got you, brother. But then, brothers, I ask that you would continue to pray for us as we go on moving forward. But, you know, and you're right. And what the brother was saying, we are correct. I want to go to 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, look at the number, verse number 12. And the Word of God says, I'm going to back up to verse number 11 in 1 Peter chapter 2. Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners, keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls. Verse 12, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors, that even if they accuse you of doing wrong, They will see your honorable behavior, and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. And that's a New Living Translation, and I like that one because it tells us plainly, be careful to live properly among unbelieving neighbors. And this is how we live in righteousness. And, you know, we know the Bible says, who is our neighbor? Every man is our neighbor. Any unbelieving person is watching us. Is first of all, that we are not, this is a whole other discussion we could have, but are we professed Christians no matter where we are? Do we profess to be of Christ, a Christian, a man of God, or we just call the man of God in the sanctuary and in the church and among believers? But are we known in our communities, on our jobs as believers? And then are we living properly in front of them, no matter what's going on, you know, on our jobs? It's not, because a lot of it is some of it is to be able to speak and evangelize the word of God. It's also, some of it is to live a life that you're different than those around you. And in our communities, in our neighborhoods, and what are we doing? Are we seen and known of? I use this as what is our reputation? Let me say it like that. What is our reputation outside of, inside the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ? Because, brothers, we know there's some brothers who come to church and you know, what is their reputation? I'm not going to say what we know, but again, how they living, what are they doing, how they speak, how they carry themselves. You know, and some of it, you know, some of it could be immaturity, but some of it is they're just not believing. They're not convinced. They're not committed. They're not submitted. So, you know, it's all of it is big. It's just a wide gamut of things of who we are as men of God. And this is what I talk about when we talk about encouraging one another, challenging one another, supporting one another, and holding each other accountable. This is why it's important that we have men's ministries, that we have times of fellowship, that we come together. And we come together and we meditate on the word of God. I know we can talk about a lot of things, baseball, football, playoffs, football, basketball, playoffs, all that stuff that anybody and everybody talks about. But us as men of God, do we come together to meditate on the word of God, to reason the word of God, to help my brother understand a portion of scripture or how to apply a portion of scripture, to apply the word to our life, to our real life situations? You know, my pastor says it a lot of times, you know. The brother says, he says, no, I like football and I like, you know, baseball. Well, he's a football guy, but in all these sports, do we understand that we how much time we put in to these things that have nothing to do with our everyday life? And this is how we slip into idolatry. This is how we slip into stuff that don't really matter. You know, I know because I'm a, you know, everybody who knows me, I'm a New York Giants fan, and I'm a Knicks guy. You know, those things, I don't get into the, I won't say I never have, but getting into those intense discussions about that and then not able to get into the same passion and pursuit of understanding for the word of God. And then what are we spending our time to grow in the word of God or to serve God? How are we getting service? That's something else we want to talk about coming up in some episodes about what it means to be the good deeds and the work of God that we can be able to do. So, brothers, that's the things we want to meditate on. And when we come together, again, when we're doing our men's fellowships, as we're moving into the spring and the summer and the gatherings, to come together and to encourage one another and strengthen one another in the word. Because I could know the stats for the Ravens. I could know the stats for the Orioles. I could, you know, talk about the Lakers and LeBron and all these things. But what are those things going to do for my spiritual growth, for my maturing in the things of God, how God's going to use me? We have to just be able to shift our priorities. And that's one of the things about being obedient to the faith. Are we shifting our priorities? Do we have a renewed mind? Do we have a renewed heart for the things of God? Praise the Lord, Elder. Are you back? Are you here? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. My apologies.
Oh, I got you. I just want to make sure you're back. All right.
Yeah,
well, amen. Amen. Well, what do you think, sir?
Well, yes, sir. I do agree. You know, we and forgive me, I'm having a little bit of low blood sugar, so I apologize if I'm a little off kilter. But, you know, I definitely agree. We spend so much time concentrating on things that won't help our lives, don't help us to grow. I always joke with, well, not even joke, let me be honest. I always make a statement. I sometimes hear some of our younger men that can, you know, recite some of these songs verbatim just when they hear the beat. And so many of us older men, we can recite certain songs and things. We have them memorized. We can recite the older lyrics and we know these things inside and out. But when it comes to the word, what do we know? When we come to what will really save our lives, what do we know? I mean, the word is the solution. The word is the answer to every aspect of our life. Yet we depend upon the world for the answers. Those become the very guiding things in our lives. And that is what we need to learn, that as we love God, as we learn of God, as we gain a greater understanding and have a relationship with God, our obedience, our fallback needs not to be the old ways. It needs not to be the things of the world. It needs to be the things of God. That should be what we lean upon. That should be our foundation. We shouldn't be men that are recognized because of our reputation. Shouldn't be that of knowing what the world is all about and living for what the world is. But our reputation should be that of what God has for us, what God has proclaimed we are and who we are. The word says, well, excuse me, forgive me, what we should be and who we are to be is ones that proclaim who God is in everything that we do. As I was saying before, our life should exude the very fruit of the Spirit. That means we are representations of God. It's always my prayer that we stand as a representation of God, that we continue to push through each and every situation, that I continue to push through situations, because we're confronted with things we don't understand, we don't know, we don't recognize, we don't have the answers to, and so many times we depend upon the wrong thing. It's like you wouldn't deal with a health issue. A new health issue comes about, something as you've never seen, you've never dealt with, a symptom you've never seen. You wouldn't go ask your friend, hey, how you deal with this? You'd go ask the doctor because he is the one that you consider to have the answers. The same instance, the same thing when it comes to our love, to our faith. We're not going to go ask the person who doesn't believe. We're not going to go ask the person who is struggling just like we are how to get through a situation when it comes to our faith. We need to depend upon the word of God. And that is our relationship. That is our belief. That is our faith, that knowing that God has the answer, that we can depend upon God, that we can follow God, and that in that instance when something does go down, when something does go wrong, that's who we turn to. We're no longer going back to our old ways. We're no longer depending upon those idle things that mean nothing in our life. I'm always amazed that, like Deacon said, you know, men that we can quote every statistic and quote everything about the game and know everything, every single play and every single playbook. I know some men that know the colors of the uniforms from the 1978, whoever, whatever. But if you ask them anything about something that really can change their life, the first question is, I don't really know. I never thought about it, or I never looked at it. We spend so much time trying to build up a character that makes no sense, that means absolutely nothing. I'm not going to say it doesn't make sense, because those are our hobbies. Those are the things that we have interest in. But we need to turn our interest into the growth of our souls, the growth of our lives, the growth of our household, the growth of our family. We need to be the men that stand up and be the men that lead. That's our call, to be a lead. But how can we be a lead when we don't even know how to follow? And we don't know how to follow because we haven't learned about obedience. We learn that if we do something, we do it because it feels good and we make sense of it. But some things may not feel good. Some things may not work in our own plan. But as we learn of God, as we know God, we move forward in what he commands for us to do, knowing and trusting that he'll line us up with everything that we need to receive so that we can reach that place, so that we can see that happiness, so that we can have that abundance, so that we can have the promises. But until we do so, how dare we sit in a place that says we are the men we are called to be. I'm being a man because I know this, I know that. When you really don't have an understanding of anything that's going to change your life, change your family, or give you the things that you need when trouble comes. Back to you, sir.
Amen, brother. You know, I agree, and that's where we have to grow to. We have to grow to that spot. So, brothers, what I say to you right now in this day, whenever you listen to this, in this moment, where are you in Christ? Where are you in your faith? And where is God pushing you to go to grow in your faith? Because it's all about a process. It's all about this. As long as we're in this flesh and on this earth, because, again, the Bible says we are pilgrims passing through, but we ought to grow in our knowledge and understanding and obedience to him every day that we are a Christian, that we ought to grow. And when we obey the Lord, we live a life of joy, a life we're not ashamed, and we're rooted in deep and we're rooted in deep in love of God, in the love of the Lord, and we're confident. I think the confidence of Word of God says about who we are gives us the confidence because we have eternal hope. This is not our home. Our home is in heaven because of Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death and the proof of his resurrection. So that we are, the Spirit of the Lord is here, and the Spirit of the Lord is freedom. So we are free. We're not restrained by the law, by any of the things that man tries to put on us to call us Christian and say we are his because of what he has done. But we are secure. Now, are we secure in our eternal hope? That's the thing we have to ask ourselves. Because if I'm confident in where I'm going, I'm going to walk the way that I'm going to get to where I'm going. And I'm going to follow directions. I'm going to follow the commands. I'm going to be obedient to the Spirit in this life because this life is not mine. It is his. And now we're going to follow how he leads us. Because, again, you know, if we read Scripture with obedience, we may be called to sacrifice some things and some in our lives. If we look at history, if we look at the Scripture and we look at the history of Christianity throughout the world, some were called to sacrifice a few things for the purpose of God and Christ. But they did it with joy. They did it unshamefully because they believed. They were obedient. It's actually part of our assurance that we truly know God because our being is in him because we trust him. And so do we really trust him enough to be obedient to him? That's why it's a lot to it. It's just not. Do we trust him enough to be obedient to the call on our lives and what God is going to, how the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us and get us involved with and to do for him for his glory? That's one of the things. Our obedience glorifies him in the earth. So we might be called to do some things that the natural man, our coworkers, our families won't understand because that's what he's called us to do and be. But we know that he's in control, and we know that God's going to provide us. So as God's children, we obey our Father, that he is glorified. And Jesus spoke about this a lot, that the good deeds, that the work that we do, that we labor, is a glorified of our God in heaven. You know, when we do outreaches and prayers and feeding the homeless and clothing and the things we labor with, we minister to one another in the body of Christ. We show love one to another, supporting each other. That's glorifying God because that's why he created his church. That's what the church is for. That goes back to a whole other conversation we're going to have coming up, the purpose of the church. You know, why is the church here? To be salt and light. And are we being salt and light? Or are we just gathering once a week to sing some songs, to talk to fellowship with each other, to hear a sermon and something we talked about for years in men's ministry of Paul punching our spiritual time clock, putting in our time, and then go back out and say we're saved and we're Christian. But what are we doing for Christ, and what is the church doing? But I say that to say this, brothers. I want to encourage every man, because blessed are those who fear the Lord and walk obedient to him. I'm gonna go to Psalms right now because I want to always plant a seed of the word into the hearts and minds, into the ears of the brothers that are listening. Psalms 128, in verse 1 says, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord and who walks in his ways. And that walking in his ways is a lifetime. It's a lifetime of sanctification, of growth. And the Bible speaks of the blessings and the rewards of obedience and being not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word. These are all things that we know and we've heard before for the brothers that are out there. But now are we? The challenge is for every man out there. If you've been saved a month, a year, 6 months, 30 years, whatever, and whatever the titles and all the things that we go through here in the flesh, are we doing the word? Are we living the word? Are we walking in obedience to him? Because that's something we all have to look in the mirror and judge for ourselves in our prayer time, in our time of devotion time, and how we are ministering to our wives, ministering to our children, how we come into fellowship. Are we living obedient to the call? And remember, our obedience is not always going to be comfortable. I challenge any brother out there and let you know, even if God is speaking to your heart to do something, and you're not sure how the outcome is, that could be of God. Because God's not going to show you everything. He didn't show Moses everything. He didn't show Peter and Paul everything, but they were obedient. Jesus knew his purpose. He knew his purpose from the beginning. And he shared with the disciples, but they didn't receive it, hear it, understand it. And even Peter said, oh, no, God, they're not going to kill you because I got you. But Jesus knew his purpose. But if we look at the New Testament, they were just obedient, not knowing what the outcome was. So are we in that place where we can live a life that's obedient? That that the Word of God, is in us, and we're listening to the Word. And we're not deceiving ourselves, thinking we're obeying something, because we only do the good things that we like. Only the things that bring us glory, that people pat us on the back, and people acknowledge us and give us plaques and awards for. But what about the sacrificing service that we're called to be as a church and as men of God? And as men of God, if we lead in the church in these things, then the women and the children will follow. That's what we have to consider also. How are we going to lead if we're afraid to step out? We need all the answers. We need the outcomes. We had to know how everything's going to work out. That's not leadership. That's not obedience to what God has called. And brothers, again, I'm not going to stand up on a pedestal in a pulpit and telling you this. I'm saying, look at what the Word of God teaches about the men who God chose, and look at the prophets in the Old Testament. Every prophet that went to Israel to correct and rebuke them, they killed. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. So what are we willing to die for? Are we willing to die for the truth of the gospel, for the work, for the deeds of the gospel? Because remember, without works, our faith is dead. Our faith produces work. I'm going to be clear. I don't want no brother to misquote me and say that Deacon Farr told me I got to work for my salvation. No, I'm saying because you are his children, there's a work that you need to do. You can't say you are a child, a man of God, and you're not serving God. And the service begins with obedience. What do you say, sir?
Amen. Deke, when you were reading Psalms, the word growth just kept sticking out to me. And I say that because, you know, even in God's plan and our understanding of the plan, we don't know. Sometimes we're given the beginning, we're given the start of the plan, and God has spoken to us and told us to do something. But because we don't see, even when we may see the outcome. You know, it may be to do this today, to start this plan or start this. And I'll use even myself. And I say this because, gentlemen, every one of us has a place to grow. But there's been so many things that I know God has told me to do before. And I've been seeing what, you know, the start and seeing where to begin and had an idea, and then I could understand the outcome and the desire and the plan, but I didn't see the middle. I didn't see the things that needed to happen. And just like Moses, he knew he was to lead the people out of Egypt into the promised land, but he didn't know anything about the middle part. He didn't know anything about what was going to go on in the midst of reaching the promised land. He just knew he was supposed to take them out of Egypt and into the promised land. But he didn't say anything about the struggles between. Do you think that Moses would have accepted that plan had he have known that they'd spend 40 years in wilderness? Do you think Moses would have accepted the plan or wanted to be a part of the plan or been obedient if he'd have known that the Israelites would murmur and complain and idolize other gods and do so many other things in the midst of reaching the promised land? So many of us have issues. We have things that God has shown us. And we would be obedient if we knew everything. But like Deke said, that's not what leadership is. Leadership isn't going into something where you know everything and you can put everything in line and then make the decision, is it worth it or not? Leadership is stepping out on faith and believing that, God, I know your plan takes me through this, that you have the power to take me through, so I'm going to be obedient because of salvation, because of what you've done. I know that I can depend upon you to go through this so that each and every day I grow. The word says each and every day we're birthed as new creatures because we have a different understanding than what we had yesterday. We have a better place, a better view, a better perspective because we've gone through something that changed us. We've gone through something that taught us something. I just feel, and I just want to, as always, I just want to say this to each and every man listening. Please don't ever think that myself, and I say this for myself and Deacon Farr, neither one of us are speaking from a place of some height or some place that we've attained and have done so and are now able to just come and speak to you and say, do this and do that. We are still growing and still working and plan and hope that this discussion, that these discussions are a place where we grow together as men. Iron does sharpen iron. The word literally says iron sharpens iron. That means that each and every one of us are built strong enough to be the one that can sharpen the next, to be the one that can assist the next. But we are put in a place to do so. But if we refuse and don't want to be obedient, we can't be a part of that plan that can help build our fellow brother, can help build us at the same time. We depend upon each other. We need each other. We as men must grow together to understand and reach the outcome of the plan, to reach the point, to reach what God has intended for us. So I implore you, I just ask that each and every one of you listen, those that go back on the archive, those that are live right now, that you open your heart to hear and understand that as God is speaking to you, your obedience is better than sacrifice. Your obedience is better than knowing everything about it. That is the sacrifice, that you give up your understanding, that you give up your will, that you give up your way to follow God, because God has a plan for you that uses you as a benefit to the body. Every one of us, no matter our understanding, whether you're a theologian, whether you're a simplistic man, whether you're an intelligent man, whether you're a tall, whoever you are, whatever way, shape, or form you were made in, however you look, however you sound, however you walk, as long as we are called and we answer the call in obedience, God will strengthen us to stand strong in our situation, to stand strong, to proclaim who he is so that he gets the glory, not for us to be glorified. And in the midst of him getting the glory, he will be the provision that you need. He will be the blessing that you need. He will be everything we need, standing together as men to answer the call, to be role models, to be fathers, to be brothers, to be friends, to be confidants, to be conduits that share what he is already sharing with us. I just implore you, man, every day, recognize that you won't have all the answers, but as you grow standing in obedience as you grow obedient to the commandments, as you grow obedient to the plan, each and every day is another reward of a greater understanding than what you had yesterday. So as the plan unfolds, you get to see God moving. And that happens so that your testimony can speak to someone else who also may have been struggling with their own growth, with their own situation, with their own test. Every day grow. Every day obedience. Every day that is better than sacrificing what you felt was necessary. Give up the understanding that you should be your savior. Renounce the desire to be our own saviors. Let God be God and understand that as we stand obedient, he will bless us and take us through. There's nothing too great for God, nothing too great for you with God. It was just on my heart to pour that out. I just pray that it touches somebody, that it allows somebody to see you can depend on God. We are depending upon God, and each and every day we're in a better place because we do so. And back to you, sir.
Amen, brother. Brother, I agree, and I thank you for that. I thank you for sharing that what God has put on your heart with the brothers. Men, brothers, again, you know, I just want to encourage you. I hope something was said during this segment and during this episode that would encourage you. Understand that God is gracious and God is loving. Because remember, he has sent his son, his only begotten son, to die for our sins. And brothers, let me say this. If anybody out, for all of us, we have to check ourselves. You have to check ourselves. The Bible says that we ought to check ourselves, that we are of the faith. If you've been living in the world and of the world, know this. And maybe I even have some unsaved brothers who have not confessed Christ yet, come to the full understanding and knowledge of who he is. I say that today, Christ is the answer. The gospel is your hope for eternal life because Jesus Christ died and paid the price for your sins. And I say this to you, too, that you can be transformed by his blood. You ask God for forgiveness, and he forgive us. Even if we backslidden, even if we got off course, we can get back on course through repentance, asking God to forgive us, and he will choose to forgive our sins, just like we have never committed sin, that God will be glorified. So he will extend his forgiveness to you. And I'll give you this scripture as we prepare to close. Brother, I'm going to come to you. You can close out in prayer and give your final comments. But I want to give another seed of a word to you today. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I don't like really picking apart the scripture. Those who know me, but study, meditate on Hebrews chapter 10, and then take time and take a deep dive into verses 16 and 17. Hebrews chapter 10, take a deep dive on verses 16 and 17. And let that be the meditation of your heart. Again, gentlemen, this has been Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. Again, you can call, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can be on the website and you can hear this again. You can share the link that you received in your text. Also, you can go on our Facebook page at Issues Christian Men's Talk. Again, we have a lot of events coming up, a lot of men's ministry conferences and things are happening. Churches are open up here, especially, and I'll say this for the brothers locally, Baltimore, D.C., Anne Arundel County, we're having a lot of gatherings and men and gatherings, face-to-face, in-person gatherings. It's time. God is in control. God is in control. And we're gathering in-person, face-to-face. So the opportunities, as soon as I get them, I will post them on Facebook. Brothers, if you're having something at your ministry, in your church, let us know. We can share it with the brothers. As we know that, you know, there's time for us to come back together, and a lot of brothers will need that time of fellowship. So I pray that, you know, as we minister, we be able to reach brothers and encourage them to come back out. So, brothers, again, this is Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and I thank you again for listening and taking time, and I pray that God will put on your heart to share this episode with some brothers that who you know may need encouraging in their walk, in their faith. Amen. Elder Mark, again, brother, I appreciate you, man. Love you. I pray your healing, and I pray that you continue to press in and press on, and I appreciate you spending time and being part of our discussions and you have many episodes. So you're my official number two guy.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it and love you as well, my brother. I appreciate you for standing with as my accountability partner, as my prayer partner, just standing as a brother and friend that I can truly lean upon. So I thank you for that. And it's always a blessing to be on the show, and thank you for the prayers. A little bit of health issues. My blood sugar was dropping, so I started feeling kind of off and almost felt babbling. So that's why I had to excuse myself for a moment. But to God be the glory, I'm feeling much better. So thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
To the gentlemen listening, to those men on the line, as Deacon said, we are continuing to do more outreach, to continue to come back together to gather again. So I'd like to mention that I will be hosting here, if you are in the Baltimore area, Baltimore, Glenbury area, the address will be my home address, but I'm hosting, once again, getting back to our reading, our weekly reading and meeting on the first Monday of the month. We get together, we have a little bite to eat, we break bread together, and we discuss different scriptural studies, and those come from, we usually use the Bible application, the Bible app, the Holy Bible app, which just gives us some reading plans. So we'll start those. Those will come out on text. You can join us for the reading plan as well as the discussion. This discussion will actually be, I'm hoping to do a little more with technology, that when we have the meeting, if you're not able to make it to the face-to-face meeting, you can still listen into the meeting. We can record it, have it archived. I'll have a few men here that we'll just have a chance to discuss. So looking forward to the opportunity. Once again, that will be starting once again. Week to week, we'll be reading and meeting face-to-face on the first Monday of the month, starting in May. So I implore you, I invite you, please come out if you're able to. It'll be a wonderful time. It was a blessing when we did it before. We continued for several months doing that, and men truly were blessed. We are blessed and just continuing to share and build upon one another. Like I said, iron does sharpen iron. The word gives it to us. Iron sharpens iron. Father God, we come before you today, Lord God, to just say thank you. Thank you, Father God, for your blessings, for your grace, for your mercy, Lord God. We come before you, Lord God, as humbly as we know how, to just give you thanks, because you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end, Lord God. We thank you for this time that we've had to join, Lord God, to learn more of you and thus of ourselves. So continue, Lord God, to speak to us, Lord God. We may not understand the plan, Lord God, but we stand in a place to be obedient, Lord God, to your will and way, not that of our own, not leaning upon our own understanding, Lord God, but acknowledging you, Lord God, knowing that you will make the path straight, O God. So we thank you, Lord God, that every day, Lord God, we're birthed as new creatures with a new understanding, a new perspective, a new desire, a new outlook, Lord God, that we can walk, talk, and exude the very fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us beyond any way we could ever love ourselves. Thank you, Lord God, for giving us men around us, giving us brothers that we can fellowship with, that we can stand with in accountability, Lord God, that we can be accountable to and that can be accountable to us as we, Lord God, desire to go deeper into you, Lord God. So continue your blessings, your grace, your mercy, your favor, and most of all, Lord God, your forgiveness. For as we may fall short, Lord God, we thank you that a righteous man can stand back up and continue, Lord God, on that very path of righteousness for your very name's sake. So we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your love, and we truly, Lord God, dedicate ourselves as your willing and able servants. We thank you, we honor you, and bless you, and pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen, brother. God bless.
God bless you, brother.
We need you right now. We kneel and we say, Jesus. Our heart beats.
Our
no